The lesson that I'm going to teach today does not come from 5 days of studying on the subject. It comes from a lifetime of studying, reading, and praying. I, like the honeybees, gather from many flowers in the course of my life, and in my studying and reading, I must have stored many thoughts in the subconscious mind. And when I teach, these have come out again in different phrases on different lessons. Many have contributed to my teaching. I have heard many great sermons, listened to many great lessons from great speakers and teachers. I am grateful to all of them. Today, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of prayer. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, we find that Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible tells us that it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And then again in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. What a request. Teach us to pray. Don't we need to know how to pray? I'll admit, there are times when we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. It has often been said that prayer is the greatest force in the universe. Friend, this is no exaggeration. It bears constant repeating. In this atomic age, when forces are being released that stagger the thought and imaginations of people everywhere, we do well to remember that prayer transcends all other forces. If the church would only awaken to her responsibility of intercession, we could well evangelize this world. It is not God's plan that the world be merely evangelized ultimately. I believe that God wants every generation evangelized. There should be a constant gospel witness in every corner of the world, in every generation of the world, so that no sinner need ever to close his eyes in death without hearing the gospel, the good news of salvation through Christ. In Luke chapter 15, we find the greatest failure in the life of the elder brother. We find that the greatest failure in the life of the older brother was that he measured his own goodness by the badness of his prodigal brother. He should have been able to see how low he too had sunk in lacking compassion for a lost soul. He should have recognized how low he had fallen. He should have known that the prodigal son did not need to come back home. He had alternatives. He could have changed his job, arguing that he was just too upset because pig raising was not his line of work. Or worse still, he could have committed suicide. The older brother should have been happy that the prodigal brother changed his mind and came back home. So we should ask ourselves, have we Christians dropped into the sin of the elder brother? Are we who still have coals of fire on our altars, measuring ourselves by the fireless altars of our neighboring churches, instead remembering the praying blaze of our saintly forefathers? The world boasts of its atomic power. Some cults boast of their satanic power. But where are those who boast on the Holy Ghost power? I ask, why do men wander in the wilderness of this world while our churches have plenty of room for them all? There's no reason for this. One man said, people today are not tired of preaching, but tired of our preaching. Does this mean that the pulpit has form, but not fire? Doctrine, but not dynamite? Is the failure in the pulpit? Is this man inferring that the church has a spire, but does not aspire to holiness? Does it mean that the most of us church folks are sanctimonious, but not sanctified? Another man said, you will have to look more redeemed if I am to believe in your Redeemer. I believe that the failure stems back to our poverty in prayer. To offer a different administration in politics as a cure-all for this sick age is like handing out aspirins to cure cancer. America does not need Russia to humble. America needs God's people to humble themselves and fall on their knees and call on God. A bigger issue is this. Can America remain free another 4 years before the election? Can America stave off financial ruin while at the same time shunning the laws of God? You may ask, where do we go from here? The answer is, back to the mercies of God. Every church without a prayer meeting condemns us. Every Bible daily unopened condemns us. Every promise of God rejected condemns us. Every lost neighbor, every lost heathen condemns us. Every dry eye among us, every wasted minute of our time condemns us. Every unclaimed opportunity for God condemns us. Next year is not ours to claim. Tomorrow may be too late unless we repent now, unless we return and fire the prayer altars now, unless we fast and weep now. Woe is unto us at the judgment.